What's up, everyone, and welcome to All Elite Nerds, the metalcore nerd show that talks all about All Elite Wrestling. I am your host, Sean Mott, and today I have my friend Chris, who works in shows, including This Is Hardcore Fest and all of the Philly hardcore shows you see. Well, most of them, but we'll say all.
The good ones.
I mean, mostly, yeah, mostly. But how you doing, man? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, cool. Glad we finally got to do this. I know we've been talking about it for a while, so.
I know.
The planets have aligned.
So. Yes, it's finally together, and we hit a T-trigger in unison, and we're here.
Yes. Glad we're doing it now, though, because I'm about to fuck off on tour for 2 months. And
true. It's good timing. A lot of people are about to hop on tour, so it is very, very.
Yes, now that we can, everybody's going all at once, and it's going to be madness.
Yeah, pretty much. That's very accurate. Before we get into the wrestling talk, I want to talk a little about what have you been watching lately? The content game right now is crazy. I can barely keep up with it. What have you been into lately? There's a lot.
There is a lot. And in addition to my already like stacked plate of I have to watch this, and this, it's just like shit going on in my personal life where that kind of like put a big pause on everything for a while. So now I'm really playing catch up on stuff. So, you know, my answer may be a little shorter than it would be on any other given week.
That's fine.
One thing I did watch recently that I really, really loved was Midnight Mass. Have you seen that yet?
Not yet. So I just finished The Sopranos.
Oh, okay. So you're today. Like 10 years behind. Okay, yeah.
not 10 years, but a little bit, because I've been watching my weekly stuff. Like I've been watching Ted Lasso and AEW, and then Titans has pretty much been my weekly thing. I was watching Walking Dead, but I realized I like it much better binging it. So I've been letting episodes collect so I can just binge it.
Yeah,
it plays way better.
Not on purpose, but I was like, oh yeah, I fell behind on that. Let's do that. So I just finished up season 10 actually a couple days ago.
Yeah, I'm
sort of like up current with it for the first time since like, you know, the second season or whatever. Whenever, because I always just get behind. Like I'll go on tour for a couple months and then come home and have like 25 shows to watch and catch up on everything. And it's like by the time I start getting caught up, I go out again. So it's
but now that I finished Sopranos, I finished the finale today. Midnight Mass is a big one on my list to watch.
Yeah, honestly, it was the best. I will call it a made-for-TV miniseries based on a Stephen King story that is not actually based on Stephen King story, or not actually a made-for-TV movie either, but it's got that vibe.
Yeah.
Like, I know you remember how, like, you know, there always used to be the TV miniseries, but, you know, The Stand, The Mist, even what the hell, like, Salem's Lot was a TV movie, right?
There were so many when I was growing up. I grew up on those.
It was always a thing. Yeah, for sure. So it feels like that. It honestly like took me back to watching something like that. It has that same vibe to it. The author is obviously a very big Stephen King fan, which who isn't, right? But
fair. Very fair. I mean, yes.
But yeah, no, it's really, really well done too. It's a slow burn though. Like it took to about the third episode where it was just like, oh, like you don't know what's happening. It's just like, okay, this is really brooding and slow burning. What's happening here? And then three episodes go by and you're like, all right, there's only like three more episodes. What's happening here? And then it hits and then it's just like, oh shit. And then it just gets crazy. So
that's pretty much what everyone has said.
If you're impatient, don't watch it. But
I don't mind slow burns at all. So sure. I'm sure I'll be more than fine with it. If the payoff's good, I'm all for a slow burn. It's just when it absolutely is. And when it's a slow burn and then it sucks, then you're like,
Ugh. It's like, why did I sit through this? You know, like it's not.
But yeah, that's very high on my list. And I've also been trying, you know, it's Halloween, so I've been trying to watch some horror movies, either ones that I watched when I was younger and I don't really remember, other than like I liked it and stuff like that, or things that are leading up to everything. I haven't seen the 2018 Halloween. And I know the new one's coming.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, you got like a week before the new one comes out.
You know, and Sam was like, let's go see Halloween Kills. I was like, we haven't watched the other one. She's like, she's like, but really, like, I mean, do we really need to? I was like, not really, but kind of.
So helps to have some sort of like lead into.
I was like, I want to.
Oh, Michael Myers is alive. He killed a bunch of people. There's your plot.
Yes, basically.
But, you know, how do we get there is the fun part, right?
Yeah. Exactly. It was just, we were supposed to see it with another married couple, and then it just never happened. And then we just didn't watch it. That's the only reason. Literally the only reason.
Yeah, I'll wait for you. We'll do this, and then somebody else drops the ball, and you get stuck. That happens.
Exactly. Other than Midnight Mass, you've been watching anything else?
Caught the first few episodes of Why the Last Man.
That's the other show on my list.
Also on your list,
Midnight Mist and Why the Last Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm behind on that. Because they dropped the first three episodes at once, I watched those and then haven't gotten back to it since, just because life, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. I've heard it's very good.
There's a few current. Yeah, absolutely liked what I saw so far. Looking forward to getting back into that.
Cool.
There's a couple other things it's like I actually was keeping up on, and then shit comes up, and
yeah,
here we are waiting again.
Yeah.
Like I'm a few episodes behind on Heels also. So
I need to watch that too. I was waiting until it was all out. And then, I was gonna
the whole thing.
And I was gonna sign up for a free trial for Stars. And
yeah, that is the move. Yeah, absolutely. You just don't pay for anything, absolutely ever.
Yeah, didn't I was definitely. I mean, there's a few subscription services I pay for, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, same.
That one not on my list.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like they'll put out one thing every 2 years. It's cool.
I
pay $10 a month or whatever for that. Right.
Pass. Like, and I have enough emails.
Get your 7-day free subscription, binge the whole thing, and then
boom.
Cancel that shit. Absolutely.
And then I have enough emails that when season two happens.
Yes.
Good to go.
This is not the same person. Yeah. Okay.
Good to go.
Yeah.
Or I could use one of Sam's emails. Either way, I got backup plans. Backup plans.
Sure. It takes 5 minutes to make a Gmail account. So
Exactly. I have enough of them as it is.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot more stuff coming out, which we're going to talk about before we get into some wrestling talk. I know you're a big pop culture guy. We've talked about it in person and over the internet before. And there's just so much happening. I could not just make this a full on wrestling episode just because there's too much to talk about.
I will talk about any of those things for days at a time. So, yeah, for sure.
So the Eternals, it's coming out in a few weeks.
Yes.
I'm very hyped for it. It seems like a lot of people are being skeptical about it. I don't know if it's this new thing where people are like, I don't know anything about it, I don't care, or it's like, it's like the new Marvel thing where everyone goes in with super low expectations and they just get blown out of the water, which is fine too. That's completely fine. But they released a couple short TV spots, not even really trailers. They showed some new footage, some old footage, and then there was like a featurette where Kevin Feige and some other people. The movie's the second longest MCU movie ever. It's longer than Infinity War, shorter than Endgame.
Infinity War and Endgame, right.
Yeah. They said it's going to be a lot of past and present
risky
time.
For like a new property that
it's big.
That like not a lot of people are familiar with. Yeah, let's give you a fucking 3 hour long movie.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be so dense with information, because even he went on to say that we're going to see the formation of the MCU in its whole thing, you know, and everything with the Celestials and what else it has to do with the MCU. It seems like it's going to have very big implications for things that we already knew and things moving forward, which makes complete sense.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Even like they never do one shots. Like even a random Marvel movie is going to tie into everything else somehow. Even minorly, one thing's going to happen and you're going to go, oh, and then whatever, you know?
Exactly. And that's the beauty of the MCU, because I know a lot of people were kind of, when the TV show started coming, they're like, oh, they didn't really answer those questions. I'm like, well, I was like, yeah, I was like, the MCU is like a TV series in its totality, you know, like everything bleeds into something else.
Every movie is a weekly episode, basically. It just takes a little longer to get there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the beauty of it, you know, because there's nothing else like it. Like even Star Wars, that's, you know, a four-decade-old you know, amalgamation of now shows in movies as well, doesn't really do it like the MCU does, you know?
It's getting there now.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, it didn't until maybe a year ago when they were like, oh yeah, here's 10 new shows that are coming out over the next 3 years, and
yeah,
you know, I'm not mad at that at all, by the
no.
way.
No. Fuck no. When they announce all those, I'm like, Star Wars, I'm like, I'm in for all of these. Especially especially that Filoni and Favreau have some ties to most of them. I have the utmost faith that they're all going to be high quality. Definitely, for sure. It's
honestly,
it's the same thing with MCU.
Selling the franchise is the best thing that has happened to it since 1983.
I mean, The Mandalorian's if it's not my favorite Star Wars thing, it's up there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it literally feels like the original trilogy.
Yeah.
That's very near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, I do think Dave Filoni knows more about Star Wars than George Lucas at this point.
At this point, yeah. He's like, you created this. I'll take it. Thank you. Yeah. I'll take it from here. Go enjoy your retirement, you know?
Yeah, which is fine. I
trust him with it, though. He gets it. He gets it because he's a fan also.
Yeah.
And it's like he knows everything too, so.
Exactly. And that's what it's funny when people say Disney ruined Star Wars. I was like, at this point, I think Disney saved Star Wars.
Yeah,
I was like,
okay, sorry, they didn't give you three more Phantom Menaces and Attack of the Clones. Like, what do you want?
Yeah, that's a big conversation that could go on for hours. That's a good point, because I know the views on that, it's like talking religion at this point. You know, if you don't agree on a certain Star Wars thing when the trilogy side, there's no convincing either side.
You simply say the words "The Last Jedi."
Oh yeah,
watch what happens. You know, it's rough.
I'm in a podcast group. Shout out to the Goon Platoon. It's all these other dudes from like around the country who do pop culture podcasts. Like the first like few days I was in it, I was like, "Oh, I love The Last Jedi," and they're all like,
"And they kicked you out of the group." No,
I honestly thought they might at a second, and they're like, "No, it's cool, it's cool. We just hate it." And I'm like, I get it. And I said the same thing. I was like, "It's like religion. You can't even talk about it. We can just say, hey, we have different opinions on this, and that's cool." And I was like, "I'll take it."
considering some of the reactions you would get, just you know, agreeing to disagree is the best you can ask
for. Yeah, easily the best you can do in that type of situation. And they also confirmed there's gonna be two post-credit scenes in the Eternals, which is a kind of a given.
Oh yeah, at this point I think everybody expects two. Like one just happens, that everybody's sitting there waiting like, wait, really?
Yeah. That
always sets up the next, you know, or something farther down the line.
And they're so hard to guess what they're going to be. Like the Shang-Chi ones, I was like,
it'd literally be everything.
I was like, what?
Yet, by the way,
I won't spoil anything.
That's what I was going to say. They'll bring it back to Eternals. And how like it was a risk to do it, period, but also to do it like, yeah, here's this movie that's super long and you don't know anything about it. I think we're at the point now where people just trust Marvel when they put a movie out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, remember back when Guardians of the Galaxy came out?
Exactly.
They're like, we're doing that movie. And everybody was like, what is that? And like, I'm sitting there like, that's like a C or D list book. Very niche, very like... Yeah. Me, I'm freaking out because I'm like, holy shit, Rocket Raccoon on the silver screen? Like, what the fuck, you know? But then it ended up being like one of the most successful of the movies. And I was like, yeah, who saw that coming, right? So same thing with Shang-Chi. Everybody's like, what the fuck is a Shang-Chi? And then now again, it's really successful. So I have a feeling Eternals will do well. It just, you put the Marvel stamp on it and people will watch it.
Especially when you have the cast they have. You know.
Sure, yeah, that helps too.
The cast is probably the most ridiculously star-studded cast Marvel's ever done.
It's pretty stacked, yeah, for sure.
You know, because they started out with pretty much not known people for the most part. You know, Chris Hemsworth, no one knew who he was.
Right.
Even Chris Evans wasn't really big, and he was mostly known for comedy.
I knew him as Johnny Storm in that shitty Fantastic Four movie, and I was like, we're trying again with him, huh? Okay.
Paid off.
Turned out to be great. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like the Marvel's made more stars than, you know. Now it's coming to a point where it's like all these stars are coming to Marvel because they're like, oh, I need to be in a Marvel movie.
Like, oh, this is the thing. Put me in one. Yeah, revitalize my career.
Yeah, exactly. Or just add another notch. You know, it's not like Ethan Hawke was hurting, but they're like,
right.
Hey, I'll be in Moon Knight. Cool. Apparently Oscar Isaac saw him in like a coffee shop and he's like,
I love that story. Hey. Apparently they live down the street from each other.
Yeah. He's like, hey, do you want to be in Moon Knight? It's like, yeah. Okay. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a great story.
It seems like people don't like Jonathan Majors came out and said that he didn't even audition for Kang or Nathaniel Richards, which he goes by many names, as we know.
Sure.
And they were just kind of like, you're going to be this character. And he's like, okay.
Tell me when to show up, I guess. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Oh, I get to play a million versions of myself probably for the next 10 years. Sure.
Yeah. That that next season of Loki will be fun.
Yeah.
Or wherever they go with it. Who fucking knows? Because Marvel, like we said, is.
Yeah. I'm hoping
one thing here and then shoots off in every other direction.
I definitely think we'll see him before that. And I kind of hope Loki season 2 like is right before Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. Like it leads into it. But we'll see. I have no information on that.
Yeah, so I mean that or like, you know, even the Doctor Strange movie could be involved in that, the whole multiverse thing, and you know. There's a lot of ways they could go with it, and that's what's exciting about it.
That's going to be the craziest movie we've ever seen.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one.
Anyway, we'll go another Marvel piece of news. Our Adam Warlock, Space Jesus himself, has been cast. Will Poulter, who was in, most people probably know him from We're the Millers, but later he was in Maze Runner and Bandersnatch, the Black Mirror movie, and also Detroit, which Detroit is a very serious movie. If you've not seen Detroit, I highly recommend seeing Detroit. And that's the one where people are like, the kid from Where the Millers is playing Adam Warlock. I'm like, go watch Detroit. Then you'll kind of get it. Because it's a very serious movie. It's not comedic whatsoever. Right. And he plays a very like serious piece of shit cop, pretty much. And you're just like, oh, okay, this kid's just... I mean, and he was a literal kid when he was in Where the Millers. I think he was a teenager when he filmed that movie.
Yeah, I say, he seemed pretty young just to be a
very young
character. But I mean, you know.
Yeah, because now he's like he's like late 20s, so he's like.
Yeah, I don't know anything 30. About him. Like when they announced that casting, I was like, "Who's that?"
Yeah, a lot of people seem to be skeptical about it. They're like, "Oh, it's weird," and I'm like, "Well, Adam Warlock's weird," and I was like, "And that here's the main thing: when has the MCU casting missed ever?"
Exactly, that's the thing. Every time somebody's like, "That's a really weird choice for insert character here," and then you see it, and you're like, "Yeah, that was awesome. Makes perfect sense. Give me 5 more movies with that."
Exactly. I mean, and this goes back to like. Batman castings, people judge that, and all of them have been awesome. Or even Heath Ledger as the Joker, people are like, how is he going to be the Joker? And well, look how that worked out really well. Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah, but that's like the whole thing, and it seems to be kind of a new thing now that news becomes more prevalent to the world, or people will take like a quote from an interview and skew it into the story that's not really a thing and everything like that. And people are like, oh, just like today it came out that Tom Holland says, oh, hey, we're looking as No Way Home as kind of like an ending point. Uh-oh. And they're like, oh, we're going to get a new Spider-Man. Right. That's going to be the thing. Right.
Necessarily what that means. Right.
And I'm like,
means, you know,
no
ending point to this and then start a new storyline. Right.
Like, exactly. Because I think
I would be really surprised if they recast him at this point.
There's no way. Like,
why would you do that?
I know a lot of people think that it might be an ending point for the MCU, and he kind of moves to Sony, and then back like Sony.
No, nobody wants that. But.
No, literally nobody. But I think,
except for Sony.
Well, even Sony, I hope that Sony kind of learned their lesson with the last time they're like, oh, we're taking Holland back, and there was a huge backlash, and they made that new deal. I think they realized at the first Spider-Man movie that ever made $1 billion was Spider-Man No Way Home. And it's guess what? Right. It was the epilogue to Endgame. I mean, yes, Spider-Man is one of the most popular characters ever. There's no denying that. But without the MCU, it would not make that much money. The Venom movies make a fuck ton of money. But still, I think they're learning now that, if we just make this deal with Marvel, like... just split everything 50-50, but we'll have all of our characters in their universe. They can have them and use them, but we still reap the benefits. I think that's the best case scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, nobody's going to do Marvel better than Marvel, you know?
Exactly. And I'm about to do a full Venom episode next week. And
I need to see the new one, too.
I have thoughts. It's not great, but it's not great. But I do love Tom Hardy as Venom. So I'm excited to see where the future goes. It's kind of the first one.
I just think it's real weird to even do Venom without having it attached to Spider-Man. Like, the character's entire origin and reason for existing for the first, 20 years of his existence was based on Spider-Man. Like,
yep.
So you're just going to bring him in and be like, oh, here's this alien thing. Okay, cool. But, there's ways to now in the future maybe cross him over somehow, but at this point it's just like he's already here, what's the point? And he's already like the anti-hero Venom guy, not even
the bad guy and then becomes the anti-hero.
Right. If they were going to play it like that, like they, I mean, for what it was a fun enough movie, but it was just like, why? Like,
the second
why are you making Venom without Spider-Man? And I haven't seen the second one yet. Yeah. So
second one is more of the same.
I'm
going to say, which I'm guessing most people kind of figured. It has its pluses to me, but overall it's the same as the first one where the story just isn't there. I feel like
Woody Harrelson was a good Cletus Cassidy. Am I correct there?
Oh, man. I loved the casting.
Yeah.
But his acting in the movie is very un-Woody Harrelson-like to me, personally. I feel like in this movie is like Tom Hardy killing it, fully embracing this whole crazy... Because that's what I love about the first one. You see the weirdness of Venom and how they interact with each other, and I really like that. And they turn that shit up to 11 in the second one, which I love.
Very almost slapstick comedy in parts.
Oh, dude, kind of it's almost a straight up
out a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a comedy action movie, basically. Which is fine. I'm okay with that tone because Venom is weird, so I'm cool with it. But it seems like everyone else just like I don't know if. It was the direction or the script or whatever, but even like Michelle Williams again, she's just like there, and she's an Academy nominated actress, and I'm like, how is she just there? And Woody Harrelson just seemed really not Woody Harrelson to me, which bummed me out, because a lot of people were skeptical for him for some reason being Cletus. I don't really know why, because it's Woody fucking Harrelson.
In the fucking the end credits of the first movie when they showed him, I was like,
yeah.
This is great.
I was like, cool. But it's something about it that just didn't hit for me with him.
That's a bummer to hear.
I like I said, I don't know if it was a script or what. It's just, I don't know. But
I'll have to,
let me know what you think once you get there. Last bit of news before we go into some wrestling, tying in with the horror theme. We got the Scream 5 trailer, which is just titled Scream. Very, very Halloween. Are you not stoked about this? Seems like enough.
Okay, the tagline. What's your favorite scary movie?
Yeah,
not Scream. Not really a fan.
Scream fan?
Honestly, all respect to Wes Craven. Love him, obviously. Everything else he's done, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Scream kind of ruined it for me. I think like Scream was in the 90s a big turning point for horror movies.
Yeah.
And everybody says that, and I say that too, but I mean it in not a good way.
Fair.
It as far as mainstream horror goes, Scream kind of killed the genre for me, and fair. In general. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Just the whole vibe, and it led to a whole bunch of similar movies throughout the 90s. I Know What You Did Last Summer. All those things, and then everything leading up to this point, and don't even get me started on the found footage stuff either. But I did watch the trailer, and I get what they're doing. It literally is Halloween Kills, but a different mask. It's, oh shit, he's back. Let's bring the fucking final girls back from 20 years ago. Let's go put a stop to him, and here's the younger generation too. Let's go get them. People are going to die. Literally the same movie, which I guess it kind of has to be if you're making a new one.
Yeah.
However many years after the last one, you know what I mean? Because I mean, but it's just, I don't know, that whole franchise never hit on me. Fair. Like they made this scary movie, the parodies, like you didn't need to make a parody. It was a parody of itself. Like I just.
It is a very meta take on horror, which has been the point from the jump.
I get that. Because I think like, what happened was Wes Craven made New Nightmare, and he was like, oh, I'm onto something here. And then he kind of did that, and then it just didn't work.
Fair, yeah.
Apparently it worked for some other people, because it's been a massive, massive, massively popular franchise for, like, the last 30 years, but...
Yes. I love the Scream franchise. I, like, undoubtedly love the Scream franchise.
Yeah.
I even liked some of the later ones, not as much as the earlier ones, because it becomes a little too campy for what they are. Yeah. Because the first one is campy to a bit, but it's still brutal. And I kind of do like the take that, hey, the killer is always someone you know, which is really really fucked up. You know, you really think about it. It's like Sam watched the first Halloween ever with me last Halloween. And it was funny because there's the one scene where it's like the laundry hanging and you see Michael standing there. And now you kind of look at it and can kind of laugh at it. And I go, but think about it. If you saw that in real life, you'd be freaking the fuck out. And she's like, no, you're totally right. Like, that'd be fucked up. Like, I would be like locking all the doors. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. But it's like Scream takes that times like 10 in a way. You know, it's like all these people know everything about your fucking life. It's the thing that's my problem with the later ones is that 3 and 4 both end up being people that are related to Sydney. And that's what makes it kind of like, because it's like, why does it have to be three is someone it's a long lost brother she never knew she had,
right?
Weird. And then the fourth one's, oh, it's her fucking niece. It's like that you just meet. And it's like, so that's why it's like, as long as this one, for me, because it looks really cool, it looks kind of a return to form of the original. And it's the people who did Ready or Not, which I haven't seen Ready or Not, but I heard great
Ready
things.
Not, Ready or Not is great. Yeah.
So it's the same people who did that. Because obviously Wes Craven is unfortunately not with us anymore.
Right.
And so it looks brutal. It's just, I hope that for the love of God, that the killer is some crazy relative we didn't know about that's related to Sydney. That's all I ask. And I'm a pretty easy dude to please. I watch movies to enjoy them. You know, sure. I'm not trying to act like I'm a movie critic because I'm fucking not. I'm just a dude that likes pop culture. So when people try to dissect things like Star Wars or even Marvel movies, which you can be critical of, and that's fine. It's just, absolutely, to me, I don't have any fun in that. You know,
right?
There's stuff I don't like. I just talked about how the Venom sequel was big disappointment for me. But usually I watch these things to enjoy them. So
yeah. I mean, that's the whole point, right?
Yeah. Like, I just watched Scream 4 last weekend. I was like, this is fun. I was like, it's not the greatest thing ever, but it's fun. It's a fun movie. And this one looks like it'll be a little better. And I think they're calling it Scream because I think they're going to, I think it's going to be kind of a little bit opposite of like the Halloween Kills thing that you were talking about, where the new guard will take over the old guard, which they might do in Halloween too. But it seems like they're just going to end it after the trilogy, because I know there's one more coming out next year.
Halloween
ends,
right?
I mean, until they reboot it 5 years from now or something.
Until Halloween ends, and then, you know, the year later Halloween begins again.
Or, yeah,
Halloween, a new beginning.
Yes.
Somebody else has done that one. Never mind.
No, yeah, I saw the graph, and it was like the Halloween timeline. And it's messy. It's so messy, dude.
It got so messy when they made these new ones. They're just like, fuck it. None of that shit ever happened.
First one, this one.
Which is kind of a bummer because the second one is really, really good. It's a direct sequel to the first.
Yeah, because that one has Jamie Lee Curtis in it too, right?
Yeah, it's literally a direct sequel.
Yeah.
Like, Halloween 2 starts.
Yep, right after, right? Yeah.
Like, this shit has just happened.
Yes, and, yep.
Comes out of the fire, and they go through the hospital, that whole deal.
Yeah.
Because
I think Jamie...
And that's when they find out that, you know, she's his sister.
Completely
just...
Retroactively.
That. Yeah. They said, no, that's not a thing. And there's, like, a little ha-ha in joke in Halloween 2018 about it. They make a little haha. Oh, I heard that was, you know, he's Michael Myers' brother, and everybody's just like, oh, groan, you know, like, come on.
Because I think Jamie Lee Curtis has been in three of the different chronological storylines.
Yeah, so she's in the part two, and then she came back, you know,
for like H2O or whatever, H2O, right?
And then now she's in the new ones, which are technically
the sequels to the first one. You know, classic Halloween, then Halloween. You know, because that makes sense.
Right.
That's what I know. A lot of people are talking about, like, Scream.
Right. Could have just made nobody's going to get them mixed up. Like, okay, when did it come out? There you go.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's the new one. Got it.
Right.
It.
Like, I don't think anybody's. Oh, I mistook this for the thing that came out 25 years ago. Yeah.
Exactly. So let's get in some wrestling talk. This is what we're here for.
Oh, absolutely.
That is what we're here for. So we're going to talk some wrestling. Big thing I want to talk up front. First thing we got, but it wasn't the same as this magnitude, obviously, but we got Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega.
Yeah, we did.
And I know some people that were there, and
I was there.
You were there too?
I was.
Damn. Yeah, it was so loud on TV.
Dude.
I can only imagine how it was in person.
That show, like, we go there, you know, they do the dark match with everything, and we're like, okay, we're going live to TV, and the first graphic that pops up on the thing, Brian versus Omega next, and we're like, fuck, they're leading the show off with this? Are you kidding me? Like, and I think like AEW's really been good about that, especially recently, about like a hot start to their shows. Like they'll put something to start the show off. It's just like, how is this on free TV, first of all? And second of all, like, this is, you're just gonna lead the show off like this? How do you follow that? And they did.
CM Punk promo. That's how you
follow. That's exactly. He even said, he came out, he's just like, I'm so glad I'm not wrestling tonight, because how do you follow that?
Yeah. Which technically he did wrestle that night.
He, well, you know. Time travel.
Yeah,
time travel. We went to Friday like 2 hours later. Yeah, crazy.
Exactly. It did the same when I was in Rochester. Philly too did the same thing. Yeah, filmed on one night.
They always do. Yeah. Well, most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah.
It was fucking loud. I mean, that was like at Arthur Ashe, 20,000 seats, and they sold it out, you know, so. Massive, just all night. The crowd was super hot and super loud and yelling. Yeah. You know, there was a Brian comes out, and there was like immediately the "you're gonna get your fucking head kicked" in chant, which really made me happy. And it was loud, and it was really. I was really stoked to be there. Obviously.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I didn't know you went to that show. That's amazing. Yes. That show was something special, and this match was. Yeah. Even though I ended in a draw, and I kind of figured it would be.
Yeah, I thought it might. I mean, it's Brian's first match there, and Kenny's the champ. You don't want to. I thought either exactly. was going to go a draw, or Kenny was going to win with, you know, via shenanigans or something.
Yeah, via Elite shenanigans.
Right. I figured somebody's going to interfere, but, you know.
But man, that match definitely kind of reminded me of like the Okada Omega matches we got in New Japan.
Both, none of them held back. I mean, did you see Brian's like chest and head the following day, which is like completely bruised up?
Yeah,
insane,
rough.
And they were both pulling out moves that I haven't seen either of them do since like Ring of Honor. Like Brian was doing the cattle mutilation. Kenny did the thing where he used to do back in Ring of Honor, where he would run down the entire ramp and then do the knee.
Like that was brutal. Really awesome.
Yeah,
he jumped so far.
I think that's where he like bruised Brian's forehead on that one. It was great.
And the Snapdragon on that LED ramp.
Oh, on the ramp, jeez, yeah, because it was like it was curved to like slant it too, so he didn't get a normal work on that, and it just right on his neck. Oof.
Yeah, that
it was brutal.
And I like how I know some people were kind of thrown off by the no countdown at the end, but I think it added more to the surprise.
Wait, because you know what I mean? Start counting out. Oh, here's they did the 1 minute remaining or 5 minutes.
Yeah,
remaining, normal things that they do in every match, but they weren't like you said 10, 9, 8. Because then it was like, oh, it's gonna end. You know, it's gonna end in a draw. It's just all of a sudden, ding, ding, go. Oh shit, it's over. You know.
Yeah, and they didn't end with the normal. Oh, they're counting that you get the count to two, and then the match at the time limit comes up. You know,
right. Timer ran three. He won. No, the timer ran out. Yeah,
they were both beating the fuck out of each other still, and then time's up, match is over, and I was like, fuck yeah. It was
typical wrestling match tropes, especially like TV, where the and I was expecting the, you know, oh, five more minutes, and then, you know, that didn't happen either. It was like, that's it, and then here comes the Elite, and they super kick them.
Yep, which was awesome. AEW does, I mean, obviously there's things that they do that is a wrestling trope and everything like that, but it's kind of,
you're going to get that no matter what.
Yeah, there's no way, but they don't do all these like fucked finishes, you know, there's no the DQ then start over, or they don't even really do DQs. Like, if they've done some, it's
very, very rare that there's,
you know what I mean? They don't do shit like that. They don't go, oh, hey, they interfered, so now it's a tag match or something like that.
Right.
Everything's pretty straight up. I mean, there's obviously been cheating or interference that gets lost, but that's going to happen. It's wrestling. You got to add to the story. You got to make these heels bigger heels or anything like that. Yeah. That stuff's going to happen. But I do love that they have the attention to detail to not give us these like weird false finishes or like stuff like that that we don't need. It's so not needed. Like, you don't need it.
A major wrestling promotion not insulting their fans' intelligence. Imagine that.
Crazy. Insane. Yeah. It's so funny because there's so many people who weren't with AEW from the jump and now have been getting into it, especially lately with Brian and Punk and, you know, all these big names coming over. And they're finally like, oh, I'm going to watch this now. And I'm like, awesome. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the fucking team. And they're like, oh, are they going to do this? And it'd be something that like WWE would normally do. And I'm like, no. I was like, you need to turn that off. I was like, believe me, I was the same way. But you guys got to turn that off. They're not going to do it to us. You know, like
it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful time to be a wrestling fan.
I've said this a few times, but AEW actually creates moments where WWE, and no offense to anyone who watches WWE, I don't care. It's just not for me. I cannot spend my time watching something I don't like. Like we've talked about, there's so much content out there outside of wrestling. I mean, there's so much wrestling content alone.
Right.
I have time for one thing, and it's AEW for wrestling, and that's just my thing. But
yeah, no, it's
you're fine. All of WWE's big moments have almost been forced to them. Like Daniel Bryan winning at WrestleMania, Kofi Mania, Becky Lynch. It goes on and on and on and on. They've done some really cool stuff like Seth Rollins cashing in. Even Roman Reigns' heel turn, it wasn't forced upon them. They did it and it was cool.
Maybe a few years too late, but yeah.
Yes. But most of their huge moments are kind of forced to them. And AEW is like the opposite. I mean, they do listen to their fans. If something's not working, they change it, which is awesome. Which it makes complete sense.
Why wouldn't you want the people watching your shows to be happy, right? Like
exactly.
Why wouldn't you? Like that's the whole reason you're doing this, right? Like, and I guess it's because like Tony Khan is a wrestling fan. He's a huge wrestling fan. He's a big fucking nerd, and it's great. So I think he gets it, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Like I know, like a report came out like a couple weeks ago saying that. Most of the booking decisions moved from the EVPs or the OG elite that started it with them and just Tony Khan, but he came on an interview saying it's like it's been like that for almost a year.
Was like an old news report or something that some other site just got a hold of and was like, oh, exclusive, look at this, and everybody's like, we already know that, like what are you talking about?
Exactly, adds to my Tony point Khan
from day one with everybody's input, of course, but he has the final say. That's how it's been since day one.
Exactly, and that exactly adds to my point of news not really being news.
Right.
It happens in wrestling more than probably anything. You know? Like, my friend will send me like a report, and I'm like, dude, I read the article, and I was like, that was just a clickbait bullshit headline, man.
Slow news day, huh? Nothing.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, man.
Somebody tweeted something. Suddenly it's a headline somewhere. It's like, relax. Like, it was a tweet. Like, it's, I don't know.
It's exhausting, but that was definitely
a
historic night for AEW, and they've just been... They're on a trajectory that's just going to keep going, I believe, in my opinion. And as you were at New York, I was in Rochester, and that was a very cool show. I kind of went last minute, and I got cheaper seats. They were like $30, which is nothing, but they weren't even that far. Honestly, I was on the ramp side, and it was like a couple of tiers up, but you could see everything perfectly. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
Not a bad spot in the house for places like that, especially like the newer arenas, because I think they're like built like that.
Yeah.
If you go to a show that's like in an arena that's like older than like 25, 30 years, then maybe, you know.
When you're in the nosebleeds and you can't see shit, like literally nothing.
Right.
But it was cool. And I think it's cool that it's very accessible to go to these kind of shows. Yeah. Probably why they do so well. I mean, other than the product being very hot, but that definitely adds to it. You don't have to drop an arm and a leg or a full paycheck or something like that to go see a wrestling show. It's just like, you know,
and
it's
then sit behind a pillar in the obstructed view and nosebleed somewhere, right?
But this show is really cool. I know a lot of people kind of theorize that Bray Wyatt might show up with the whole Dark Order story.
I was kind of expecting that might happen, but I guess not, which is fine.
Yes, same too. It's kind of like an expectation versus reality thing. You can't be mad.
It's kind of like it's like they don't need him, but if he showed up, I trust that they would have done something cool with him.
Yeah, totally agreed.
Which is the complete opposite of what I would say about the other place. Like somebody goes there, or somebody goes up to, you know, the main roster, which
you're like,
I don't even mean anymore. Now it's like, well, their career is over. It's like, oh, they're gonna get cheesed out and made to wear some goofy outfit or something, you know. But
yes. Yeah,
but like somebody's going to the AEW, I'm immediately like, oh, excited to see what they do here, because this could be good, because they're going to let them be them and let them do their thing, and you know, we hired you because of reasons A, B, and C. Go do A, B, and C. Not we hired you because we want to make you something completely different than what happened at this point. I don't understand that either, but what do I know?
I totally agree with you there, but I did love. Even though it wasn't Bray Wyatt, I know some people were bummed out about it. But again, you put that thought that it was going to happen in your head. It's not like they teased it. They didn't tease it at all.
Right.
You know, there was no inclination that Bray Wyatt was going to show up. People that just kind of wanted it to happen.
The fandom as a whole, like, oh, and it would make sense.
Obviously. It would.
Bro,
yes.
Hometown and the Dark Order has kind of been at odds. Like, who's going to come and whip them into shape? It would make sense.
Yeah, but it was cool to see his wife be the one to get them together in right. his hometown. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. And it was like very, very mm-hmm. touching. They did a lot of stuff off camera that was like big Dark Order focus. They did a thing at the end too, after Rampage, with like his wife and Negative One and the other son and everything. That it was really, really cool. And it was it was awesome to see Sammy win the title.
Yeah, that was cool.
Especially to end Dynamite in that main event. That was very, very cool moment. Obviously, the TNT title is very synonymous with Brody Lee. And it was just cool to be there. Tons of Brody chants all night. And I'm glad I went. And I got to see Daniel Bryan wrestle Nick Jackson, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Brian Danielson. Man. I got to get.
Yeah. Who's Daniel Bryan? Never heard of him. I really love that he's going by the American Dragon again. I really, really love that he wants to, you're going to get your fucking head kicked in. I love that he's just like wrestling like the last 10 years didn't happen. He's just like, yeah, this is who I was back then, and this is who I am again. Yep. Dialed up times 10.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing.
I'm here to wrestle. And
it's been cool to see him and CM Punk get acclimated to like the new like indie type of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, because like a lot of people were like, CM Punk's first match at All Out, people were like, oh, I wonder if that was ring rust. And I was like, I think it was nerves. You know, like
a little bit of that.
You know, much pressure that dude had on him. You know, like
I think he's even said he was just like, holy shit, how's this gonna go?
Yeah, exactly. Like
seven years off is a long time, but I mean, I think all things considered, he did pretty great.
Yeah, and he looked awesome with Hobbs.
Great with Hobbs. Yeah, yeah. Like, he's looked great so far. So I mean, I'm not worried.
Yeah, I'm just more excited to see them just keep going and getting more comfortable, and just them coming out more.
It was good too. Was fucking great. And like, and that kid's on one too. Like, it's great. I can't, man. So much cool stuff.
Dude, that dude is having the best year in wrestling.
He really is. like last week, I think he wrestled Suzuki, Punk, Alex Shelley, and somebody else in like a 4-day span.
Yeah.
Like, what is your life right now?
Yeah, dude, it's fucking crazy. Good for him. Because I mean, he's from upstate New York, which is awesome. From Buffalo. And he was one of those people that was in that crazy car accident.
The car crash, yeah.
You know, like people were saying, like, you're not going to walk. And now he's.
Oh, you may never walk again.
Like, now he's wrestling CM Punk. Wrestling,
like the best wrestlers of the world, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think he's doing all right for himself.
Yeah, every time I see him on TV, I was like, man, that's so fucking cool. Good for him.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, I love seeing Andy Williams on TV most weeks, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, fuck yeah.
I love that. Like, when he first showed up, when they came out from under the ring, I was just like.
Yeah, I was like, what?
I was like, oh, okay, sure, why not?
Because to people other than us, people are like, who the fuck is this guy? You know?
Right. People that don't follow, like, indie wrestling. I mean, he's done some stuff here and there, but not, like, on a big, huge scale.
No, yeah.
Who's this guy with the fucking big mustache, and the monocle, or whatever? Like, you know,
yeah, because
like, oh yeah, that's a guy from Every Time I Die. Sure.
Yeah, mostly they did like Northeast stuff, and I know they were on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast a few years ago. I remember listening to that, and I was like, this is awesome. I was like, this is so cool. Hearing Stone Cold and Andy Williams talk to each other, I was like, what? I was like, what is happening?
Worlds colliding, right? Yeah.
Seriously, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. So yeah, it's awesome to see people that like we know like on national TV, you know, it's crazy. But yeah, let's talk about a little about you being in Philly, and you can touch on some Archer S stuff more if you want to, but how was the Philly show? That one seemed really hot too.
Another one was like pretty much a sellout too. Yeah, so I think maybe next time we go to a bigger building, I don't know.
Wow.
Because I mean, they run that place twice now. I think it's like a 5,000-6,000 seat or something like that, and you know, I don't know. We'll see. I guess it depends how long until the next show and like, you know, what the trajectory is like between now and then, whether they can fill the hockey arena here, right?
Yeah, I guess it depends on who they have planned for that night too, because that's a big indicator of what's going to draw the tickets. You know what I mean?
I'm sure it won't be till next. I mean, it's not going to be for another year, probably anyway, right? So
most likely they haven't even gone to the West Coast at all.
Right, which is insane. Like, it's good. There's so much to come there, and it's just like it's all happening like on the right, you know, the right. No, nothing's getting rushed or
no
hot shotted or anything. So it's cool. But yeah, Philly show was very, very cool. It was another thing where like they started the TV show off with
the 8-man tag, right?
With the 8-man tag, which was just like fucking insane. Minus that little power bomb that didn't go well. But you know,
did you see BTE? I mean,
I did. That was very funny. Oh my God. I love how they're just like, yep, that happened. Let's make fun of it. They were immediately like, during, as soon as it happened,
they're like, all, yeah.
Like, Matt's just like, yeah, Chant, you fucked up. We know. Okay. You know, I mean, again, like, it's like, that's going to happen, and that's fine, because I think it adds a little bit element of realism to it. Like, oh, I tried to do this move on somebody, and I couldn't do it. Okay, well, you know, he's an actual dinosaur, right? How can you pick him up?
He's a big fucking dude.
He is a massive, massive dude, too, and, like, the way he moves for being that large is just, like,
crazy. Too. Yeah, he is so fast.
He was on fire, like, that. He was so over.
Yeah, he seemed like one of the most over people in the match.
People were going nuts for him, which was awesome. Like, when he got, like, the moment where he was just, like, kicking everybody and, like, running and doing the dives over, like, people were going fucking apeshit for him, which was really cool to see.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But, like, in a match with, like, that star power in that ring, like, they're going the most nuts for Luchasaurus. Like,
yeah.
Dinosaur mask. I'm like, this is great.
It was very crazy. And it's crazy because I didn't even realize that I witnessed how he got his name. Like on TV, because I used to watch Lucha Underground, and they
they
chanted Luchasaurus, and he's like, "I'm keeping that."
Yeah,
he was on Talk Is Jericho, and he talked about that's how he got the name, and I was like, "Well, I never knew that." Yeah. I figured like that was just his indie name because he had some weird ass name on Lucha Underground. I don't even remember what it was.
Part of that
the snake tribe, Thunder Rosa, actually was
Cobra Moon, yeah, right,
the head of it, which is hilarious too. Lucha Underground was fucking awesome. That was a wild show.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I wish that didn't end in the fucking shit show that it did. But, you know.
I didn't watch the last season, which I've heard.
A lot of people did, yeah. I think it's just like behind the scenes stuff, like,
yeah.
Contract wise, they screwed a lot of people up and it just turned into a whole thing. And,
yeah, that contract shit was fucked.
I think there's still some people that are still like dealing with that, which is insane.
Oh my God.
And, yeah.
Because I know they're kind of reviving it. It's parts of it in MLW,
like, right, because they have
Dario Cueto and they have like Mil Muertes, but they have different they have different names now or whatever, but they're like taking it's the same, yeah, it's like the same fucking concept, thing, just
changing name up a little bit,
which is hilarious because Matt Cross is in there, but he's just normal Matt Cross. Havoc,
right, whatever, the Son of Havoc,
yes, that's right. What he was, yeah, for a second I was like, I can't, what was it?
I forgot. It's been a few years since I watched that,
so yeah, that was
it was fun at the time for sure,
yeah. Oh yeah, so like
wacky. A lot of those dudes now are like
in AEW,
you know, doing good things, so
yeah, probably most of it's in AEW at this point, besides like Ricochet and John Morrison and PJ Black. Is PJ Black still in Ring of Honor? What is he doing?
Think so.
What is he doing?
Busy being a flat earther somewhere.
Oh, is he a flat earther too?
He's a fucking weirdo. Him and
Flip Gordon. Yeah,
they're both a couple of weirdos. I don't know.
I bet you the Elite are so happy that his contract didn't run out, and they're like, oh, thank fucking God.
Dodged a bullet there. Right? Yeah.
And Marty too, I guess. At this point, they're like,
oh boy. Woof. Yeah, it's like, oh, your contract's cool, then we don't have to, and then all that happened. Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah,
I mean all that came out, and then it'd be like, oh,
they just would have fired him.
That's what they did with Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, exactly. They would have been like, right? See ya
when all that came out.
Yeah, they're like,
gonna do, you know,
bye.
Yeah.
Is there any other highlights from that show? You got to see CM Punk wrestle again, which he's been weirdly switching from Trunks
to the long boys. Yeah,
yeah, I was like, it's just like the day of the week, like, what's up, man? Like,
I think so. I remember him posting a poll like before the second match. It was just like, you know, the CM Trunks or long boys, and everyone was just like, so he brought the Trunks back, and then he came back out in Philly wearing the pants again. Yeah. It's like, all right, well, there's a thing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like, who really changed it up a little bit? Yeah, who really care? I like, people get really worked. Yeah, you know what I mean? They're like, why the fuck is he wearing pants? I'm like, why do you care so much about his pants?
Right, it's kind of weird, right? I don't know, man. I like, can he still wrestle in them? All right, sure.
Yeah, cool. Whatever. Why
does fucking Moxley wear jeans? I don't know.
He just likes it. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
He just likes it, I guess.
Yeah, that was another crazy thing in Arthur Ashe too. The Moxley and Eddie versus Suzuki and Archer.
Ooh, yes, boy, that was a stiff one.
I get to see part two of that this weekend at New Japan in Philly.
Oh,
they're running that back again at the New Japan.
The same match?
That, yeah.
Whoa, I didn't know Eddie was going to be in it.
in the CW arena. Yeah. So
damn,
that's gonna be real up close and personal for that one.
Who else is on that? Other than that, do you know?
There's some good shit on that. What the hell, man? Now I'm thinking. The 2 days, like Suzuki is wrestling Chris Dickinson on the other day.
Wow.
Which is gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Alex Zane has a couple of matches there. One of them was Ospreay, actually, so there'll be a lot of flippy shit on that. That'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some good stuff on there. Get to see Jay White a couple times. Always stoked about that.
Nice. Very cool.
Big Jay White fan.
Is Chris Bay wrestling?
Then? Yeah, he is. He is, actually.
Is he, like, tagging with him or something?
There's, like, I think both nights. I think the one night is him and Jay White. No. It's Bay and El Phantasmo actually are tagging.
Wow.
So like a Bullet Club thing. And then the second night is like a 8 or 10 man multi-man tag deal with them. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm waiting for Jay to eventually come into AEW and then recruit some AEW people.
I'm shocked it hasn't happened yet. Like when you're doing the Impact thing, like when he first showed up and looked down at Kenny's titles, I was like, oh god, it's happening, and then nothing. And then
I think they're waiting until what we're going to talk about next happens, and I think it might I think we get the BC versus the Elite after.
That would make sense.
Yeah. So last week, you got the Hangman match too, right?
Yeah, the ladder match. Yeah,
man,
the Hangman's triumphant return.
So
the fucking roof came off that building when he came out. Even you knew it was going to be him. Of course, you did.
Well deserved.
But, you know, there's still that little 1% back in their voice going, oh, what if it's somebody else? What if
Buddy Murphy was teased.
Who I would love to see. So I actually just saw him wrestle a few weeks ago.
Ooh, okay.
He looked fucking great. Yeah, he ran some like indie show in Philly, the arena, like a few weeks ago. He wrestled that Casey Navarro dude.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
He's like a little indie guy, but it was the best match on the show, and it was the opener too. So it was just like, all right, well,
whatever.
Yeah.
So we get Hangman coming back, and deservedly he gets the title shot, which I'm guessing is going to be at Full Gear.
Yeah.
Which would make the most sense.
Absolutely. And the show is named after a bit of his. You know what I mean?
That's when he lost against Kenny 1-on-1 last year.
I love the long term everything, like
the
attention to detail. The not rushing anything.
Yes. Like,
think back to when they announced AEW.
Yeah.
The rally in the parking lot in Jacksonville.
Yep.
Which I was at, by the way.
Oh wow! Damn.
Dude. In a parking lot with no actual matches. I'm a crazy person.
But, it's not crazy at all. That's awesome.
Yeah, I happen to be down. I happen to be in Florida, like
for like,
that following Tuesday. Wow. I was like, who down here wants to do something crazy, right? I'm like, in Florida already. It's only about 4 hours away. Only 4 hours away, right? But yeah, think back to that. The seed was planted there.
Yeah, dude. Like,
Hangman's promo at that rally was saying he wants to be champion, blah blah blah. That's when Pac came out and interrupted him.
Yep.
And they had the whole thing, and he was like wearing his wrestling trunks in a parking lot when there was matches for some reason. And that's when they started joking about, oh, Pac was in Full Gear and blah blah blah. That's why they named the show Full Gear, you know. But I'm like, yeah, the whole Hangman thing has been. That seed was planted literally before they had one wrestling show.
Yep.
And just the whole thing that they've done from that point on, from him winning the first Casino Battle Royal at Double or Nothing and wrestling Jericho to be the first champion and losing.
Yep.
And then feeling all woe is me about himself, and then teaming with Kenny, winning the tag titles, and then they lose and they break up and then they fight, and then there's this whole thing. And
yep.
It's been going for what, 2.5, almost 3 years? And they really have stuck with it, and no matter who has come into the company or what has happened since, like, this has been the plan from day one, and we're getting there slowly but surely. So hats off to Tony Khan.
Dude, straight up, seriously, so many people I saw on like the Metalcore Nerds Twitter, I think they were the new wrestling people but new to AEW, and they were like, who do you think is going to take the title off Kenny Omega? And I go, there's one right answer, and it's Hangman Page.
Yeah,
and they're like,
yeah, absolutely.
They're like, there's no way.
The company now. Yeah. Now he's going to see, like, oh, Brian's first match in the company was Kenny. Oh, they said, fuck Hangman. We're going to go Brian right away. He's going to get the main. Why is Christian in the main event at all out? Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, we all chill out. Like, this isn't WWE. We're not doing something stupid. We have.
Exactly.
I've been saying it since. I'm like, if you think anybody but Hangman is going to be the dude to beat Kenny, you're out of your goddamn gourd.
100%. There's no other right answer than that. He is the one to take the title off him. And that's just it. And when it happens, it's going to be fucking awesome and an amazing moment.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for it to happen in full gear, which is when it's going to
happen. I'm going to be on tour and can't watch it live.
Oh, no.
I can't watch it live. That's the real thing. Like, I've been itching about going back out on tour for, you know, the last year and a half, and now it's finally here. And, like, my biggest thing is oh, God, I'm going to miss a 2 months worth of wrestling.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And everything else. I'm like, I'm literally going to mute everyone and every word related to wrestling, related to All Elite Wrestling, related to AEW, related to everything. Any person that wrestles there, any person who has said the word in the last mute. I'm going to try and avoid spoilers. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull it off for 2 months because that's insane.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Either way, like, you know, it's really a lot. I'm just going to, like, not to talk to anybody comes up to me at the merch table and brings up wrestling and they're going to get slapped. It's, you know. But yeah, so it sucks that, like, I'm not going to be there to, like, see this payoff happen live. And, like, I'm going to be stoked to watch it when I get home, obviously, but, like,
yep.
You know, it's not the same.
You know, no, yeah. Happen,
but
definitely not the
like,
same.
All these roads have led up to this moment, and now I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to be in, like, somewhere in the Midwest that day or something. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what day it is anymore. But
who does? Anyway, honestly.
Yeah.
Who the fuck does?
Time no longer exists.
Irrelevant. Like, completely.
I think the last, like, year and a half, 2 years, just nothing matters anymore. I just wake up and it's just okay, I guess.
It's another day.
Like, I'm on tour. I wake up like, oh, what day is it? What city am I in?
Yeah.
And I wake up and I'm just like, who cares?
And like we were talking about before, I think after is when we'll get the New Japan Invasion fully realized.
I mean, they've been teasing a lot of other things too, like with
Osprey,
Girls of Destiny,
even Osprey,
Like, but yeah, the Forbidden Door is just gonna blast wide open at this point. I think like all the travel issues too, probably.
That hurt.
And the fact, like, they're doing the G1 in New Japan right now, too. So, like, everybody's
over there
on that and can't, you know, that's the whole other thing. But, yeah. I feel because it is cool because, like, New Japan does have several people in the States right now that are, like, touring here for the summer, like, which is Suzuki's here and, you know, Jay White's over here and all this other stuff.
So, Osprey's over here.
Osprey's over here and he's been running his mouth, so it's just like, all right, when's it gonna happen? Because he's just like, I'm better than Kenny Omega, and I'll beat Punk, I'll beat Brian. It's like, let's go, let's do it. Like,
yeah,
I'm ready.
Oh yeah, I'm so ready. Like when Kenta showed up, I was like, oh fuck.
Yes.
I was like, all right, here we go. And then, but it's like you said, it's the travel stuff that I think Tony Khan's even come out and said it. Like there would have been a lot more crossover if it wasn't for the travel restrictions.
Yeah.
Everything like
for
that.
For sure. But I think once that stuff eases up a little bit, we'll see more of that.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be great.
I'm hoping we get some stuff, some crossover for Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, I'm sure Moxley will be on the card anyway, regardless.
You would think, right? Yeah,
he's a pretty big player, you know?
He's right.
Dude can show up anywhere. He's been everywhere.
Yeah, I love
GCW champion. He just shows up whatever indie he wants to. It's like,
I was gonna say the guy has held major titles in AEW, New Japan, and GCW in the span of like 6 months or something.
Yeah,
which is fucking absurd.
And defended two of them on AEW TV.
The last GCW show.
I didn't watch, but I know what happened. I know he retained.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm like, he's still the champ there, so he's gonna be around for a while. I'm like, wow,
it's crazy.
That match was just like,
I can imagine.
Like, yeah, he's this big like. He's a big TV guy with like a very large and lucrative contract, I'm sure. And he's just like, I'm gonna go do a death match with Nick Gage and roll around in broken glass.
Yep.
The dude's insane. I love it.
Yeah, he is actually crazy.
He does it because he loves it, and that's
yeah.
That's that, really funny. Like,
I love that about AEW too.
Like how wholesome his wife is too, and she's just like tweeting during the match, "I hate this."
Yeah, this is terrible.
Yeah, Renee's great.
Yeah, that's another thing I love about AEW. They let people do other things. Because why wouldn't you? Sure. It just creates more buzz for the product. Oh, John Moxley showed up here this weekend? Right. Oh, shit.
I'm gonna go watch this and, like, you know, what's he up to? Is somebody from there going to show up at AEW the next day? You know what I mean? Like, I really thought that might have happened because that's at All Out. It was like him showing up in AEW the first time and winning their title.
Yeah.
It was like the night before that or something, or the weekend before that or something, right? So it was
yeah.
Like, shit, is Gage going to show up tonight? You know? Like,
yeah, dude.
Said we got Suzuki, which even was better. That was a big
show. Cool, too. Yeah.
I flew out of my damn chair when that music hit. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not see that one coming. Obviously, no. The people kind of thought Daniel Bryan would probably debut.
Wasn't, oh, is Bryan here or Cole here? You know, we thought, you know, okay, Ruby Soho is going to be the Joker in the women's match. Instead, they're like, here's all of that and more.
What? Yeah. Show, man. Oh, my God, dude. One of the has to be the craziest ending to a pay-per-view ever.
Honestly, top to bottom, like a perfect.
It was a very good show.
Reviews of all time.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was so. I go to one of my friends here in the Utica area, and we it's been our tradition since the jump of AEW to go watch them together. So it's like our quarterly meetup.
Okay.
And we go, we meet up, and we watch the AEW pay per views, and it was awesome to witness all of that with all of them and everything. It was
really funny. My roommate had a friend over, and she knows nothing about wrestling, didn't know anything. And she's like, oh, so what am I getting into? What is it with it? You know, like over the following week to watch Dynamite with us, you know.
Hell yeah.
It's that show was something.
Oh yeah,
and they've just really been on something. A roll ever since. I feel like every week on Dynamite just feels like a fucking pay-per-view, which is insane. How they're like able to keep that up,
so, and everything's still fresh feeling too at the same time.
It's not just like you know, you used to watch Raw and SmackDown back in the day, it was a fucking chore.
Yeah,
it's
like,
oh, okay, it's Monday, all right, now it's just like, oh fuck, is it Wednesday yet, you know, is it Friday yet? Like, I'm just it's exciting, man. You literally never know what's gonna happen. People are coming from other companies, like people are just showing up, and like crazy stuff's happening with the people who are already there. They're doing crazy shit, but not just for the sake of doing something to, you know, it's like stuff that matters and it makes sense, and it's, you know, furthering storylines, but in a compelling way. It's just, it is a very, very, I've been watching wrestling now for, I'm gonna date myself here, but since third grade, which for me was the year of the very first WrestleMania.
Whoa.
So I'll leave it up to y'all to do the math and call me old.
Wow. But
yeah, so a while. So I've been like an obsessive fan since. You know, I've watched everything. I've seen everything, you know, lived through the 80s, lived through the
Internet
Wars, like ECW, literally everything. I've seen it all come and go, and I've been an obsessive fan since then, you know, 30 some years, right? And like, I watch more wrestling now than I ever have.
Yeah.
I am more excited about wrestling now than I ever have been. Yeah. And this is all taking into account that I don't even watch 1 second of any WWE show ever, and haven't in a few years. So it's just like, what does that say? You know,
on, says on a both lot.
Sides, like, how bad is this? And how bad is this? And how good is everything else for me, a fan of that length of time, to be able to say that?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very, very wonderful time to be a fan, and I'm just constantly stoked to see what's next, and like there's just new content almost every day.
Yeah,
and it's really cool.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's probably the best time to be a wrestling fan probably ever.
Yeah,
honestly, ever. And did you see this tweet that Tony Khan, and he kind of sort of had a piece of paper that may have had the full gear lineup on it?
Yeah, I did see that. People were like, oh, look, Tony Khan just with his notebook. I love how he just like has everything just scribbled down in a notebook, like he's doing like fucking fantasy booking on, which I used to do as a kid. Either you write everything down, flip a coin, roll some dice, whatever, or just, it's so funny. And I love that he's such a big fucking nerd and unapologetic about it. And he's just doing some like fantasy wrestling league, but with like real money.
Pretty much. He pretty much is. And I'm not going to reveal any of the matches because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Haven't seen it though, and who knows, that may or may not be like real stuff.
Exactly.
But the stuff that was on there, I was just like, oh shit.
I was like, I was like, all right, because there is there is another eliminator tournament happening, which the finals are going to be
full gear
too. So it's like, I wonder who's going to be in the final. Like, is Daniel Bryan Bryan Danielson going to be in that tournament? Is he going to be in the? I mean, if he's in the tournament, I would think he's in the finals. Is CM Punk going to be in the tournament?
Right. Do we end up with Bryan versus Punk in the final? Man, that'd be fun.
You know, like, I'm sure Mox at some point. Mox will be in the tournament, probably.
Yeah.
Andrade, like, Pat, Pac. You know,
all these guys. Like, there's the potential for so many dream matches just based on that roster right now. Either of stuff that has never happened,
you
thought never could happen, or stuff that maybe happened years ago but now could happen, like off the leash. You know what I mean? Like, you could do Punk versus Moxley or Bryan versus Moxley right now, and it would be a hell of a lot better than, like, you know, it would have been somewhere else.
Yeah, and Danielson was one of the best ones still putting on, like, killer matches in WWE, you know?
Yeah, I mean, how could he not, you know? Like, he had a great run there, despite any and all booking shortcomings, which is beyond his control. You know what I mean? Like, he worked with what they gave him, and he more than delivered. Like,
100%.
So yeah, now that he's like in a place that kind of like not only doesn't hinder, but like fosters that creativity and like lets dudes do their own thing and be themselves and kind of just do what got them to the dance. You know?
Yeah.
Like, the fucking possibilities are endless, and these matches are all going to be great. And like, everything he's done so far has been fucking tremendous. So I can't imagine it being, you know, anything any different. Like, we get to see Bryan versus Suzuki this week.
I know, on YouTube.
Are you kidding me, dude? Like, that's
crazy.
That's going to be very stiff. There's going to be a lot of welts on chests in that match.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Good lord, I can't believe that's a real thing. And then he wrestles Bobby Fish the very next day on TV.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Darn.
Right? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I was shocked to see him show up, too. That was out of nowhere.
Yeah, it started with a tweet, which I mean...
Obviously, it was planned before. It was just like, oh, Sammy wins the title. Bobby Fish tweets at him. Oh, nice commercial break. Oh, I saw Bobby Fish's tweet. Come on through. And, a minute later, here's the match graphic. Oh, all right, guess that's real.
I love it, man.
I actually saw that match live. Yeah, that was in Philly.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Very, very, very good match because of course it was.
It's cool to see Bobby Fish. You know, I can't wait to see him and Adam Cole interact at some point.
They're going to have some sort of interaction. It's going to be weird. Yeah, yeah.
I'd
be shocked if it was on. I could see it happening on BTE, but I could also see it happening on like the real show.
I do wonder what Kyle O'Reilly's contract is.
What his
like.
Contract? Because you gotta know, like, his two main dudes are like there now, having the time of their life, and he's just back there, just like, ah, shit. You know, like I guess I'll just stay here in this shitty company and play my air guitar. You know,
especially what it is now. I can't stand the new NXT.
Good lord, what a mess! They really.
Oof. Mm-mm.
Any semblance of anything cool that they still had there, but they really flushed that.
Gone. I know a lot of people are fans of it, but man, like I said, not for me, man.
No, thank you. Do not want.
Nope. It's so bright and like I watched like a minute of the first episode. The camera cuts are so jarring.
The camera cuts give me epilepsy, man. It's terrible. Like, how can you just?
I described the commentary team as a voiceover for a reality TV show, because that's what it sounds like.
No.
It says bad. It's not good. It's not good, man.
And just the fact that they're saying, oh, we're no longer recruiting indie wrestlers to, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, that's literally where everyone who's ever been anything has come from. And you're essentially telling the entire wrestling business, anybody who's wrestling right now or getting into wrestling, hoping to one day be in WWE, you're saying, we're not going to look at you.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, everything they're doing like that, and the NXT rebrand, and just all the shitty booking choices they're making that they think, like, it's just, they are shooting themselves in the foot and setting themselves up for long-term failure. They can sit there right now and be like, we're making billions of dollars, record profits, who cares? But they're not creating new stars. They're not doing anything compelling. They're continuously just shitting on their fan base and just thinking that, oh, well, we're the only game in town, so you're going to watch or nothing. You're not anymore.
Nope.
Like, people have other things to watch, and if you continue to insult their intelligence and just disrespect them, they're going to say, well, I'm not going to watch this bullshit anymore. I'll go watch the other show, you know? Like,
exactly. It's a new game.
Like, within a few years, I think a lot of people are just going to cut the cord, man. Like, they're fed up with their bullshit. There's enough good wrestling out there to where you can watch a show every night of the week and not even know WWE exists.
Exactly.
I'm glad that's a point where I'm at right now, and I love it.
Yeah, same, dude. It's great. It's great to not feel like you're, I don't even know. It's like you said, it's like a chore. It was like a chore to watch it. You're like, I don't really like this, but I'm watching it.
I was just like, I don't understand. Like, for so many years, I just watched it out of habit. Because, oh, that's what you do. Okay, it's on. It's Monday night. It's on. Like, I'm going to watch it this week because you just watch it every week. And you're like, oh, that sucks. That sucks. Maybe that was cool, but that sucked. And this is dumb. And I'm going to fast forward through this if I'm watching live. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, dude.
So we're like, oh, man, this whole show sucks. I would just complain about it incessantly. And I'm like, if I'm complaining about it this much, why do I continue to watch this?
Exactly.
I'm just like, all right, there's so much other stuff out there. Let's watch that instead and concentrate on the good stuff and, like, not even have to worry about how terrible everything is over here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a lot better off for it, and I think you feel a lot better, and you're not all negative and down and just hating life because you're forced to watch the shitty wrestling show. I'm sorry, sports entertainment. Can't say wrestling.
Oh, fuck. I dropped the sports entertainment line. Fuck. Whoa. We're there now. So, man. Before we wrap this up, is there any future matches you want to see, either if they're kind of already heading there or just things you're like, man, I just want to see these two people go at it? I want to hear it.
Oh, shit. Like I was just saying, there's like a goddamn litany of dream matches just waiting to happen. Like, with everybody new that just showed up, and it's like, you're going to get so much cool shit. I mean, you're going to get Hangman and Adam Cole. You're going to get Brian and Adam Cole. You're going to get Punk and Cole. Oof. Give me a Punk and MJF program just for the promos.
The promos are going
to
be...
Just let them talk to each other for like 3 straight months and maybe have a match at some point. Sure.
Especially the way MJF's been lately. Because he is...
Zero.
I know people are offended by it, but... The shit with Darby?
That too. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. You were in the car with your shitty drunk uncle and he died.
Yeah, I was like.
Darby signed off. But, you know, like, obviously they signed off ahead of time. But it's just like, man.
The
like,
shit he'll say about Punk?
With the stuff with Pillman's family too.
Oh, yeah, like, dude. Oh,
your shitty meth.
Methany?
Stepmom. Like, yeah.
Like, he said Methany on National Television.
He really did.
Yeah, him and Punk in a promo battle.
That's gonna be fucking gold. Oof. Like, just let them talk at each other.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, even him and Darby when they wrestle, I'm guessing that'll probably be at Full Gear. And
you would think, yeah.
Man, that's gonna be good.
Yeah,
it's gonna be real good. Like, I love that his Four Pillars promo. That was fucking dope. It's a fucking T-shirt now. Which once he said it, I was like, oh fuck, you're right. Like, they are.
Those
like,
four guys are, like, the future. They're all, like, in their early 20s and already great and have nothing but upside.
Yeah, because a lot of people were like, oh, man, all the champions in AEW are WWE guys. And I'm like, can we, like, lay off the WWE guys? Because, you know, they were people on the indies before, and they got signed because they were big on the indies.
That and, somebody was the WWE guy. Well, where the fuck else were they supposed to work the last 20 years? There is no WWE. There is no anywhere else. Like, they're a WWE guy. What else were they supposed to be?
And it's not like who they are in AEW is anything like they were in WWE. You know? You're going to compare Jon Moxley now to Dean Ambrose? Like, come on.
You know.
It's night and day.
Talking to his potted plant or whatever goofy shit.
Wearing a gas mask. Dude. Like, come on. Like, that's why I was like, get out of here, dude. Like, no. Stop that shit. And even I was like, okay, even if you take that into consideration, I was like, look at all these stars they've made.
Right.
Jungle Boy, MJF, Sammy Guevara, Orange Cassidy even. You know, like Britt Baker.
We really live in a world where Orange Cassidy was like the most over dude in wrestling for a while.
Yes.
Just saying that sentence out loud is absurd. I can't believe that was like a real thing.
Yeah. And he's still fucking over. Yeah. It's crazy. It's insane. Like to even think, you're exactly right. It is crazy to be like, yeah, Orange Cassidy is like a superstar.
It's like, I know he's that good because knowing his work in a previous incarnation, someone else that he was somewhere else, I won't spoil it for people if they don't know, but you know, he worked another gimmick under a mask.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
Dude was incredible.
Yeah.
So like, I know he's that good, but him being this over as that character is hilarious because,
yeah,
you know, for obvious reasons.
It's so funny. It's so that moment with him and Sting is one of the best moments ever.
I love that ever. Sting is 62 years old, but also not afraid to have fun.
It's,
you know, somebody will come in to me and he'll be like, don't you know who I am? I'm not doing this dumb shit. Sting's like, yeah, I'll do the kick spot with Orange Cassidy. Or, you know, yeah, I'll dive off a fucking building in that cinematic match. With Sting. Sting is having a goddamn great time right now.
And he looks fucking good, dude.
He's still doing like top rope dives to the floor.
For a dude who's 60.
He's 62, right?
And retired from a neck injury.
Right.
And he's doing this shit.
And he's having a great time. Yeah, I don't expect any 5-star matches out of the guy.
Oh,
but I mean,
fuck no.
Everything that he's... at Arthur Ashe, when him and Darby tagged up.
Oh my god, dude.
I was like, all right, yeah, you know, Darby carries most of the match and Sting comes in for the hot tag and cleans that. It was
the other way around.
Sting carried that whole match.
Yeah, what dude. It's crazy. Yeah. Anytime he gets in the ring, I get more impressed, which should be the opposite. But
I love it, yeah.
And that's another thing AEW does so well is they're taking these legends and they're using them in such a smart way. It's like, you know,
right.
If he Sting was...
and Tully as a manager,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
If Sting was wrestling for the title, yeah, I'd be I'd be like,
right,
what is this?
Like, this is dumb. What are you doing? This is
but he's not.
15 years ago, you know what I mean? Like,
or like when he came into WWE, that's the first thing he did. He had a program with Seth for the title, which is like, why?
After they dropped him out the Hunter at Mania, yeah.
Oh God! Let's not even. What was the point of that? Other than to be, WWE is superior.
Vince saying yes. I'm burying WCW one last time. Okay, Vince.
Yeah, cool, dude. Great.
Yeah. Okay. Can't wait till they bury you. Anyway. Yeah.
Do you think Sammy and Kevin Owens are on their way?
Ooh. Well.
Because their contracts are both up
hoping.
The end and the beginning of the year. I think it's January or something.
Already?
Oh, really?
Owens is up at the end of January. So February 1st.
Oh, okay.
1st,
he was the January one.
Man. Yeah, yeah. Sammy, I didn't see an exact date, but it said fall 2021.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It's either already up and he's working on a handshake, you know, day-to-day deal, or he re-signed, which I haven't heard of. You know if one of them goes, the other one's going to. You know that for a fact, and I already think Kevin has been
teasing.
Just been like, get me out of here. You know what I mean? Like the Mount Rushmore post.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Just
like
coordinates, and everybody, what's this? And they looked it up. It's Mount Rushmore because it was right after Cole showed up in AEW, and it's like, oh no, he wants out,
dude.
And then he like somebody posted an old match of him and Moxley, well, Ambrose, whatever, and he like quote tweeted it and just said one of my favorites. I'm like, oh, it'd be great when you can do that again in February. Yeah. But it's really funny because like right before all that happened, like the day before, I literally almost tweeted, Kevin Steen is going to be AEW champion within 3 years. Save this post. And then all that started happening. I was like, oh, well, shit.
Well,
you know, so that's, yes, I'll say that on record right here on this podcast. Now, I mean,
you heard it.
It's a little more obvious to everybody now since like he's been teasing it himself. But yeah, he 100%, I think he's going, and he 100% going to be like main event guy right away, as he should be.
Yeah, as and he then, should be for sure.
And if he goes, you got to think Sammy goes too.
Yeah.
And I think it's well beyond this point. But man, I would really love to see Generico show up at least once.
I especially because he did those t-shirts like not too long ago on Pro Wrestling Tees. They did the El Generico t-shirts. Like people still obviously love El Generico.
Yeah, it's a great character.
You know, and how amazing would it be to hear Excalibur say he's returned from helping the children in Mexico?
From the orphanage, yeah.
It would be so great to see that come full circle.
I don't think he would do it full time, but I do feel like an appearance or two would be really fun and really like.
It would be hilarious if he did both. He was his own gimmick, whatever.
Also, the Angelic Jericho. The fact that it's the same person, be like, no, that's not me. I don't know what you're talking about.
That would be so. I haven't thought of that until now. That would be a possibility, but that would be amazing.
I really feel that's a thing that they would totally do in AEW too.
They would, yes.
Like that feels like a thing that they would do just kind of as like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know?
Yep, 100%.
But also just to let their guys have fun, and that would be and then like somehow book a match, them against each other, and then somehow make that not happen like right before it's supposed to happen. I don't know.
Man. Yeah, that would be amazing. I hope that
happens. Yeah, I really think Kevin is dead set on leaving.
All of his best friends are there.
It just seems all of his friends are there. Like, it's just like, why wouldn't he go? And he's going to be used the right way.
Yeah.
And I think, like, after all that happened, WWE, like, they just didn't put him on TV for, like, that long after that, right? Like, what do you even do with the guy?
I could get it before, you know, he has a family.
Sure. You know, but I mean,
but now it's,
you know, now, like, AEW, like, he can go there. Oh, why would you leave WWE for the money? I'm like, sir, Tony Khan's net worth is more than Vince.
It's like almost double or something.
It's more than, it's like three times more at least.
Yeah.
And that's not even taking his dad's money into account. Like Tony
Who's
Khan
richer? Who's
right?
richer
so,
than
like,
him?
Tony Khan personally is richer than Vince McMahon.
Yep. So, a lot richer.
So, yeah. But, you know, so if you're really concerned about the money, okay, I guess. And the fact that, like, all the top guys who were in WWE are making more now than they ever did in WWE. Like you said, Moxley, Jericho, Jim Ross have all said this is the highest like paycheck I've ever gotten.
Which is crazy because it's not like Dean Ambrose was a top dude almost the whole time he was in there.
Yeah.
Especially with all the Shield shit, you know, like dude is making money.
So yeah, it's not about the money. Money is no issue there. So I think there's a lot going on. And I really feel like, you know, what would be a good starting point for Kevin would be the Owen Hart tournament.
Ooh, man, that would be amazing. Because
I know he's like a super fan, like named his fucking kid after him.
Yeah, dude.
You know, the Canadian hero deal. And
good call.
That was the first thing when I heard that, I was like, Kevin's going. It's like, this is it, you know. So
yeah, because they haven't announced when that's like happening or anything, just that
they
happening.
They just like, this is the thing that's going to happen. I'm like, please do it after January, you know.
Which would make sense if they're doing this full gear tournament and then they're doing the TBS women's title tournament. They're not going to stack another team on top of it,
right? So it's going to have to go, you know, over
a
few months.
Who do you think is going to be the first TBS champion in the women's side?
That's another thing I was saying about that. There's a lot of directions they could go with that, because I mean, you obviously want to keep some people hot as like contenders for Brit's title, but also you also want somebody carrying the other title that's going to be like a credible champ, you know. They could do Ruby, they could do
Thunder Rosa.
I think Thunder Rosa might be the one to beat Brit eventually.
Me too. That's what I'm thinking. She
either, if not beat her, that's going to be like a big that's going to be a big program.
They have the story there.
There's stories there where she beat her in the unsanctioned match, but you know it doesn't count. So you didn't get, you know. So I feel like that's going to be the next, and they've already kind of teased it a little bit here and there.
Yeah, or Jade.
They could do Jade, absolutely.
They just put her over Thunder Rosa, you know.
Like, they put her over that fits. It fits her like character. You know, TBS, that bitch show, right?
Yeah, that bitch show, yeah.
which is hilarious. I is she ready for it? I don't know. I think she's really good. I think she's really good, and she has all the tools, obviously. She's got a great look. She's got the raw skill there. It just needs some refining. She's still a little green.
Yeah, she's new to it.
100% is going to be a huge star.
Oh, so
I just hope that, I just hope they don't hotshot her and do it too fast and like, yeah. put her in a situation where she's not ready to carry that.
Yeah, I could see her going to the finals and maybe losing it.
Could do that also.
That,
yeah.
that would be a credible loss, especially if it was to someone like a Ruby.
Like her first loss, right?
Yeah, like and how big for that that look for Ruby, her beating right. this undefeated monster, beat, exactly, you know? Exactly. And I think Ruby might be the best option, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I mean,
she's popular. So over.
She's got a crossover appeal because yeah. you know she was in WWE for a while. People know who she is. So if you're turning in for the first time, oh, I remember her. You know.
Yep.
But also, yeah, she's got the story too. The underdog. She never had the title over there.
Yeah.
She came in and came here, and now
lost to Britt. So, yeah.
Right.
Had her chance and lost to Britt. In a really, really good match. Really, really
yeah,
good match.
Yeah. Very, very good match. Very good match. Yes.
Yeah.
They did that in New York. Yeah. Right. How stacked that show was. That was just a weekly TV show, and it felt like a pay-per-view.
Dude, that card was so stacked. It was insane, dude. Like, insane. I mean, yeah. again, you started with Omega and Danielson. That in itself is yeah. massive. Like,
right.
Man, is there anything else you want to add? Anything else you're looking forward to or anything like that?
I mean, everything. Like,
yeah, everything.
It sounds cliche and corny. Oh, everything no, on the show, but there's like
I agree.
Not a lot outside of the goofy inner circle and MMA angle. Not too big on that, but like everything else, like it's like can't miss television every week, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I definitely agree, and even
that thing, it's like, yeah, I'll watch it. Not my favorite part of the show, but whatever. We'll see where it goes. I trust them. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I love Ethan Page.
Yeah, big fan, real big fan. Yeah,
he's so great. I've liked some of Dan Lambert's promos. Some others, he kind of goes a little too far, but
I think yeah,
not too far as in like, oh my god, I'm offended, but just like it just. There's like no
shut up already.
Yeah, right? There's no like actual concrete focus, and it's very strange that Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky are the ones teaming up with them.
Who are especially both really good talkers?
Yeah, especially when you're facing like a Jake Hager who's currently in MMA.
Right.
You know, it's kind of weird in that regard. But if we're trying to make sense of wrestling things, it's kind of. We're going too far in the rabbit
hole. That's always a lost cause. Yeah. Why is this happening? Because pro wrestling, that's why.
And are you gonna be on that CU Space Cowboy tour?
Yeah, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah,
I will see you in Syracuse.
Yeah, I figured as much. Awesome.
Yeah. I love every band on that package, so
that'll be fun. I don't know much about that Grey Haven band, but
they are fucking sick. They are so good.
Yeah, I've never seen them, so
they're kind of not really Norma Jeannie, but kind of Norma Jeannie.
I mean, I listen to them when
every time he dies.
Every time I die, yeah. Vibe was the guy that I got for them. I'm like, okay, yeah. I won't be mad about seeing.
And
this
they're again, yeah, like they're right. Very good live, very good.
Okay,
and they're really cool dudes, like so nice.
Yeah,
they're like really old friends with the Knock Loose guys.
Okay,
I think Isaac was in the band at one point years ago.
Oh,
So they're just very same as like the Knock Loose guys. Very nice, very reserved.
Good.
Human beings, very nice. You'll like them. They're good dudes.
Good.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you so much for coming on here.
Yeah, dude, thank you for having me. Good time.
We'll definitely do it again once you're back from your trek across the country.
Yes.
Multiple
yes,
times.
Yes. Right. Again. You know, it's what I do.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's
you haven't been able to do it for a year and a half. So
yes, I'm, you got to make up.
Really stoked about we're going hard on this. It's like, oh, touring again. We're going to go out for 2 months.
Yeah.
Like leaving right around Halloween, I get back shortly before Christmas. So
perfect timing.
Yeah, that's a good time.
Awesome, man. Thank you again. I will see you in Syracuse. And
yeah, man. Thanks.
Until next time. See you later, nerds.
Hey, thanks for having me.